Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Manipro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. Manipro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Borman. Today is Monday, July 18th. Yep, it's a Monday. Hope you all had a great weekend. And I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear, including the hot-selling Chicken Whisperer collector cards. Hey, let me describe them. Just like baseball cards, but for chickens. It's got the photo of a particular breed on the front and all the stats of that chicken, when it was developed, where it was developed, the specifics of the weight, and really the whole nine yards on the back of the card. And you can get those, again, at chickenwhisperer.com. They're a hot seller. They're going to sell out. When Series 1 sells out, they're sold out. Series 2 should come out this fall, sometime around Crossroads or the Ohio National. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. All you have to do if you're listening live is scroll down a little bit. The chat room automatically opens up on our homepage. You'll be automatically in the chat room as a guest, but we want you to take a moment to register. It just takes a moment. It'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about our passion of backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming, urban gardening, preparedness, and a whole lot more. Or if you just want to kind of stay incognito as a guest and spy on the show, that's perfectly fine too, because we know who you are. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Manipro. Manipro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that Manipro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. Manipro, nurturing life.
Manipro understands that poultry owners are as diverse as the birds they care for, which is why they offer both medicated and non-medicated starters. Whichever product you choose, you know you're getting great nutrition for your new chick. Look for Manipro products at a retailer near you. Manipro, nurturing life.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at mcmurrayhatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery. Ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality built chicken coops for every size flock and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com. Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is normally now time to introduce our wonderful co-host, poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. But she must have been tied up in a meeting or what have you, because I do not see her on the switchboard. The switchboard is working. If you remember Friday, we had some technical difficulties, not on our end, not on our broadcast end, on our board or anything, but it was on the Blog Talk Radio side. Apparently, they had one of their lines completely go down for whatever reason, and so it eliminated anybody being able to actually call in. In fact, when you called in, you got a busy signal. So we apologize about that. But hey, we've been doing this show long enough; we can adapt and overcome. What we did was we actually went with chicken. It was Fun Friday. So we had tons of prizes to give away, and we were doing chicken trivia contests and whatnot. And then next thing you know, just went blank. Nobody could call in, so it was one of those things. But hey, we adapted, we overcame, and next thing you know, hey, we were doing chicken trivia in the chat room, so no problems whatsoever. There, we got through it just fine. So we apologize about the technical difficulty there, and it looks like Pat may have just given us a call in. So let's go ahead and let's do this the right way. It is now time to bring on our Beauty Chicks, Chicken Tractor, other great titles, all-around multi-talented young lady, and compost queen herself, the one and only Pat Foreman.
Oh, Whisper. Yeah, sorry I'm late, Whisper. Today feels like Sunday to me because we did the Mad City Chicks movie yesterday over in Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah.
And we were up late last night in a hot tub after this gourmet dinner.
La 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 la
your friends and family.
No. We had on bathing suits. It's all right. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
But I'm kind of in holiday mode. So I was just telling my host about chicken whispering, how to hold chickens and that sort of thing, and then realized, oh, my God, it's Monday. It's not Sunday. So anyway, here I am. I'm in the car driving back to Lexington. I'm on 64, and here we are, Monday.
It is Monday.
In Richmond, they're having the same problem that Boston is having. You know, the chickens aren't legal. They want chickens. There was about 50 people at the movie yesterday, and about a third of them had chickens illegally. And about the other two-thirds want to have chickens, and we're just going to chop it at the bit. So they're getting pretty ripe over here for that part of the chicken revolution. You know, the chicken suffrage movement is proceeding through these state capitals all over the place. So anyway, what were you going to say? I'm sorry I cut you off. Go ahead.
Oh, no problem. There were some comments in the chat room about, hey, too much information, Pat. You need to keep your juicy stories to yourself. The show is rated PG-13, and unless it's Friday, of course. And they just too much information.
Well, now is a hot tub juicy? I love you a hot tub like the sauna. It's therapeutic.
Well,
my gosh! Oh,
I think in the chat room, the census is that. It might have been if you would have had about a cup of coffee before you got in. It might have been just a little bit.
Oh, Lord.
If Pat would have had some coffee before
you
entered the hot tub, then the camera should have been rolling. But yep, if you didn't have coffee, then I'm sure things were safe and absolutely no problem at all.
Well, things were very safe. I have to admit, all the froth and the bubbles, things were absolutely safe. But I did have some really fine local wine last night, along with this local. Everything was local, and it was in their house with it was absolutely fabulous.
Just a little tip, and you can take this with you for future reference whenever you're at a hot tub, but. You can eliminate a lot of the bubbles if you refrain from eating beans at dinner before you get in. So if you know, it's just you can take that with what you want, but I'm just letting you know you can eliminate a lot of those bubbles if you don't eat beans for dinner before you enter the hot tub. So you can just my tidbit of advice for you today, and then you can always take that with you as long as you find yourself in a hot tub.
Right. Well, no one would ever know. I mean, that's one advantage. No, we had no beans last night. We had this eggplant dish, and so no beans. But boy, did I eat well! I feel like I've been on a month's vacation. It was just wonderful. Chicken talk for two whole days, and then a gourmet dinner ended with a hot tub. I mean, just really hard to top that, you know.
Oh my goodness!
Anyway,
great.
My goodness, yes, life is good.
Good. Yes, life is absolutely good. It couldn't be better. And we're excited to be here today with all of our friends and fans out there in Radio Land, in the chat room, listening live, listening to the archive. We are the only show in the world about backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming, urban garden, and preparedness, all wrapped up into one awesome show. We have awesome sponsors. We have awesome listeners. We have awesome guests, and that's what makes this show. Don't rely on anything else. We bring you, starting August, I'm telling you, folks, every single Monday, we're going to have Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor here, every single Monday. The first and third Thursdays, we welcome PhD, poultry scientist, Dr. Bridget McRae as well. And then, of course, we have the publisher of Back Home Magazine on, Richard Frudenberger, that talks about sustainability. We have Arlena Schott, who's a gardening expert, has her own TV show, the first and third Wednesdays of every month, talking about gardening. We have the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy making huge advances in the preservation of heritage breeds. We have Society of SPPA, Society of Preservation of Poultry Antiquities. There's Christina Heinrich, the author, that comes on once a month as well, who's doing fabulous work. And It's just amazing. The guests we are so fortunate to have here on this radio show, only here, and it is free. You don't have to subscribe to it. You just have to tune in every single day, Monday through Friday at noon, to get all this awesome information. And we tell folks, hey, have a pen and paper ready. Have that notepad open. Keep it by your computer, because the information you get here is so valuable. And if you miss it, you can go back and watch and listen to the archive as well. We cover poultry shows all over the country. We'll anticipate on doing that again this fall as the the show season starts. We hope to be at least at one of the two, either Crossroads in Indianapolis or the Ohio National, hopefully one of those two major shows. We hope to have some type of mini book tour that we've actually already started making calls on, from Florida all the way up to, it may end at Crossroads or the Ohio National, depending on the date. It may end at a big facility up there in with BCI, Bradley Caldwell, in Atlantic City. We're not sure yet where the final stop will be, but along the stop, we will have plenty of Chicken Whisperer collector cards. We'll have plenty of books that we'll be autographing. We'll be broadcasting the radio show. We may stop at a lot of the Mana Pro dealers throughout the tour, maybe some tractor supplies as well. So we're really looking forward to that. But get your information right here, because it's coming from the experts. So right here on Backyard Poultry. And today is no exception. Today is Monday, and you've got Pat and I. And what Pat and I are going to be doing today, and Pat, you'll remember when we were up in Stanton, Virginia, depending on where you're from across the country, we had a little Getting Started with Backyard Poultry workshop. We had a great crowd turnout. And we're gonna kind of do that today. We're gonna break off here in a minute and go to chickens in the news, and then when we come back for I guess about an hour or so, or maybe 40 minutes, we're gonna go through that. And I've got the topics here in front of me, and I'll start those. We'll talk a little bit, because I've actually seen on Facebook there are a lot of people that have are looking at getting chickens this year. Maybe they just got some baby chicks, and it's just kind of a good, well-rounded general class that we do when we travel around the country, getting started with backyard poultry. We think maybe next spring, if we visit places we've been before, we'll do a combo class, getting started and maybe a little bit more advanced techniques and skills with your chickens, maybe a little bit of disease and whatnot. So that's what we have in store for you today, just kind of a quick overview of getting started with backyard poultry. Absolutely. So we've got a good week. Now, Pat, memory, when you were a little late this morning, it kind of had me worried. Is this, which week are you going to be not available, or have we already passed all of those?
That was when I was in Vermont touring the compost company. I'm pretty well unbooked the rest of the time.
Gotcha. Okay, I just wasn't sure when I see you on there. I'm thinking, okay, this was the week that she had some things going on, and I was going to be running solo, and maybe had to have a guest host.
No, I won't leave you for the rest of the summer, Whisper.
I don't say that now, but we are still. Well, I do have some very good news. As many of you know, I share a lot of things with our personal lives with you. Y'all are my friends and family out there in Radio Land, and Jen had actually received, because, you know, she worked at the same school for 7 years, loved it. That was one of the reasons that kind of delayed us getting down here to the little homestead, is that she loved her job so much. She loved her worker. She loved her kids. She loved the school she was at, and had a great reputation there, had lots of positions on different committees. And so, but she knew with Caleb on the way that it was time. She knew she wanted to be stay-at-home mom and homeschool and whatnot, but yet, you know, she loves teaching so much. It's such a part of her life. She went to school forever to get all her degrees. Well, we heard yesterday that Friday, she received a phone call and then today she received her official offer for a position, a teaching position. Very unique, where she can work out of the home. It's kind of it's hard to explain. It's kind of an online / homeschool that's still kind of charter school that's still run by the Georgia State Education. So very, very good news. She was very excited. And so she's going to be going to training on Monday and Tuesday, a week from today. She'll have training up in Atlanta. And I'm still confident, though, that it shouldn't interrupt my schedule, but I will will still be broadcast Monday, should still be a broadcast Tuesday, because she'll be in training, and I'll be at the hotel actually you know, doing broadcast, taking care of Caleb. So there may be a little crying, a little fussing in the background. So I'll rely on you, Pat. Maybe on Monday and Tuesday I'll be there to maybe run the show, or if I have to meet
Whisper,
myself.
You can cry on the background all you want. It's all right.
Absolutely.
We'll take care of it. We all know we're just doing all the best we can.
Exactly. So, she wanted to stay home and be stay-at-home mom, but this is kind of the best of both worlds, so we're both ecstatic about that.
That is fabulous. Congratulations.
The thing is,
It always works out.
When the good Lord is in charge and it's His in charge and it's in the plan and our life plan, then it's going to happen, and that means we just get to we should still be able to get to travel. She should still be able to work on the road as I do with this position. So that's a good thing. It shouldn't interfere too much with our traveling and the book tour and whatnot. And they were asking about Love for Poultry. She, I think, is planning to return on Wednesday. I think she told us she would be out of the loop until the 20th, which will be Wednesday, maybe Thursday the 21st if she decides to stay an extra day. But then she'll be back. And if you've ordered the Chicken Whisperer collector cards, no worries, because like I said, she's in charge of kind of all of that, shipping them out, getting the orders in and whatnot. So you've got to, so if there may be a little bit delay in getting your cards, we're not taking your $5. $5, but we're going to we'll get those out to you, because her and her family are in charge of kind of that project. So when she gets back on Thursday, she'll have her work cut out for her, catching up on all the cards that have been ordered while she was gone. So, including maybe sending Pat a deck, I guess, and I'll have to make sure.
Oh, yeah, you promised.
I'll make sure we get you a few, Pat. Oh, my goodness.
Well, so far, I've just got the barred rock.
Which I thought was a check.
Oh, dear. Yeah, but no, it's better than a check. There you go.
The card and the check are in the mail. So, gotta love it.
Oh dear. Yeah. Hey, listen, Whisper. When we do our commercial break, I'm gonna have to log off and log back in. So I need to make a really important call. So when we start the break, I'll just go ahead and get that done, and then I'll be back on for the rest of the show.
Okay, you need to make that now. I can take a break now and come back and do Chickens in the News, or we can do some Chickens in the News now, and like we always do.
Let's go ahead and do Chickens in the News.
Okay, very good.
I don't have any. Sorry.
That's fine. I thought
I would be home by now at my computer, but I'm not.
Oh, that's
I'm
no
not.
Problem. No worries at all.
Because it's
Sunday
in my world.
Yeah. Hey, you know, it's nobody likes Mondays, so if you still want it to be a Sunday, that's great. We had a fabulous Sunday yesterday. Speaking of that, we woke up and took Caleb. We went across the street. We attended church. After church, we had a little bit of a rest and relaxation, and then we went back to – or I had lunch with my wife and son, and then we had a little relaxation yesterday afternoon, which is always good. Then we went back. We had an ice cream social, and we had about 5 different homemade flavors of ice cream.
Ooh.
We had peach ice cream made with fresh Georgia peaches. They are in season now, and they are fabulous. So peach ice cream. We had vanilla ice cream. We had chocolate ice cream. We had strawberry ice cream. And there was another one I didn't identify. Do you remember, Jen? 2 peaches. Okay, good. 2 peach ice cream. And then people made homemade, literally, not this stuff that you bring from the store. This is, you know, good old South Georgia. Homemade, for example, pound cakes. You could put the pound cake in your bowl and then put some homemade peach ice cream over it. Woo! It was awesome.
Whoa.
And a nice social. And then we drove down the street and visited with some really good friends for about an hour and then came home. So yesterday was a really, really good Sunday for us. But, yes, let's get to Chickens in the News. As you know, Chickens in the News every day is brought to you by our good friends up at Meyer Hatchery at MeyerHatchery.com. Since 1985, Meyer Hatchery in Polk, Ohio has been a family-owned and operated business. Meyer Hatchery is a year-round hatchery that offers over 160 breeds of poultry, including chickens, ducks, geese, turkeys, guineas, feedfowl, and game birds, plus a full line of feed and supplies. Just need a few baby chicks? No problem. Meyer Hatchery will ship as few as 3 baby chicks. Check them out online at MeyerHatchery.com. That's MeyerHatchery.com. All righty. You can see our Chickens in the News. We post an awful lot of it over at Chicken Whisperer on our Facebook page. Just go to Facebook.com/The Chicken Whisperer. Again, that's facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. So, alrighty, let's see what we got here. Let me scroll down. Chickens in the news here. I posted several over the weekend. Let me see if one that just might tickle your fancy. See what we've got. So I see one here, but I may save it for a little bit in a minute. We have some that, yes, don't want you to forget, on Friday, because of the technical difficulties, we were not able to get the secret password out for our Hutch contest we're doing right now, and so Friday's secret password was Grover, okay? Friday, this is Monday through Friday, Friday's secret password was Grover. So write that down and make sure you log that, because if you're collecting those, we'll be giving that a coop away here shortly, and not the coop, but the Hutch. And in fact, it's the Premium Plus Hutch by Ware Manufacturing, also a sponsor of the show, but it's through critter-cages.com. It's got a value on their website of $169, but you may see I've seen it retail in stores for up to $250. And just to kind of recap that, the contest, we will actually be issuing passwords on the radio show, the same password, then we post them on Facebook and Twitter, and then we will be, the last password will be issued on Thursday, July 28th, next week, Thursday, July 28th, and then we're going to give that Hutch away on Friday, July 29th, and the way it works is you collect all the passwords. I believe there'll be a total of 15 passwords, and then once you collect all those, if you're the right caller on Friday the 29th and can recite all 15 passwords, then you're going to win this beautiful Premium Plus Hutch by Critter-Cages.com, valued at about $170 to $250. So we've got that going on, which is, of course, a fabulous prize. And just to remind everybody, again, there's a lot of imitators out there, but we've given away more chicken coops than anybody on the planet, and we've given away more prizes than anybody on the planet when it comes to chicken-related prizes. So we're very proud of that because of our sponsors. All righty. Let's see what we got here from the Taos Press. Join the ranks of Taos backyard poultry farmers. This comes to us from Susan Carpenter Sims. It's been over 8 decades since Herbert Hoover's famous presidential campaign promise of a chicken in every pot. And nowadays, with the growing number of people keeping chickens on their property, one might run a campaign on the promise of a chicken in every yard. Back in Hoover's day, live poultry trains carried approximately 4,600 chickens per car across the United States. By the 70s, raising chickens for eggs and meat had changed from free-range farming to the kind of factory production that involves atrocities like blunting chickens' beaks and lifelong confinement into tiny cages and cramped and unsanitary chicken houses. Whether it's because people are horrified by these realities or because the health concern about eggs and cholesterol has been refuted, or because of the growing hunger for all things local and green, interests in backyard chicken keeping has been steadily increasing in the past few years. And, oh, where'd it go? My page was messing around. And Taos is no exception. Many in this area keep chickens these days, including Bonnie Golden, activities director at Taos Living Center, who decided to keep chickens with her husband, green builder Bo Schoen. She was inspired by the superior taste and color of the eggs she's been buying from another local chicken keeper, Victoria Walden, who works at Taos Veterinary Clinic. It's the thing to do now. Everybody's got chickens. People in cities even have chickens, says Golden. You go into SIDS and you see different people names on the egg cartons, so a lot of people are doing it. It just seems like a no-brainer to us because we've had the space and we have the material. Golden says she began researching well before they began the project. We'll talk about that today, Pat, in our Getting Started with Backyard Poultry. We took a lot of books from the library and then was cutting out a lot of articles from different magazines for the first few years, and then finally involved into, hey, let's do it. And so they built their chicken coop with recycled materials, such as 1x4s left over from a roofing job that were headed to the dump. They spent almost no money on the project. The fun thing is, everybody we used for this, we had, except for everything we used for this, we had except for a little bit of wire, they explain. And it's just kind of a funky house. We've seen some really fancy ones. This one's just like, yeah, whatever works. In truth, it's a bit more sophisticated than whatever. They insulated the hen house with silver bubble wrap scraps and installed a south-facing window for passive solar heating. They also created a storage area under the hen house and paneled its walls. We fenced the top two so no hawks or ravens can get in there, says Golden. Some of those big birds will definitely swoop down and grab them. Golden and Ashowan's chickens are a variety, Buff Orpingtons, which they chose because they're good egg layers and more docile than other breeds. They also are a hardy breed, which is important in this climate, says Golden. So far, the hens haven't laid any eggs because they're still maturing. We'll talk about when to expect those eggs in our segment today. We got them in late March, and they were just teeny, teeny little chicks, they said, adding they kept the chicks in a cardboard box in the bathroom with water, food, and a heat lamp until they were old enough to bring out the coop. Golden looks forward to those first few eggs. So you heard this article. It's happening all around the country where people are starting backyard flocks of chickens because, you know what, it just makes sense. We're going to talk about some of the advantages today on the show as Pat and I will be talking about in this segment getting started with backyard poultry. When we tour around the country, that's one of the things that we do. As we have a class. We'll broadcast the radio show and have a class to get people started and talk about all of them for and the benefits of raising backyard poultry. So we'll be doing that today in this segment. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take a short commercial break. Pat, you can go and make your phone call. We'll look forward to you coming back.
Okay.
And not a problem. And we'll be back, and Pat and I will be discussing getting started with backyard poultry, some of the basics that if you're getting started or want to get started, you might want to know before you do. So stay with us, folks. We'll be back right after this short break from our sponsors.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
Hey ladies, do you have a hard time finding the perfect gift for that animal lover on your list? I did, but not anymore. I shop at HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a great selection of dog, cat, horse, and chicken gifts that are not only cute, but affordable too. Check them out at HobbyHillFarm.com and become a Facebook fan at Facebook.com/HobbyHillFarm to receive updates on new products and special discounts. I just know you're going to love HobbyHillFarm.com. I do.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. That was a quick phone call, Pat. You're already back with us and ready to roll.
Yes, indeedy. I am ready to roll. I'm rolling. I never stopped rolling there, Whisperer.
Very good. East Dallas Davis is a good point. Had commented in the chat room if anyone had tried any feed with the increased omega-3s in that, and regarding the how you know important people want that high omega-3 in their eggs, and I had mentioned that you know, it's my recommendation. You know, you may not want to change feed just to try to increase the omega-3s and stress out your chickens to a new feed when you can just get some omega-3 sprinkles. There are several companies that make some omega-3 additive. I just call them omega-3 sprinkles, and you can actually take whatever amount of it and sprinkle it into your existing feed instead of having to change to a feed for 60 days and then deciding you don't like it and then changing back and stressing your birds twice. So, you know, I would rather you keep the feed that, you know, if that's the case instead of, and plus it's a little bit more expensive feed as well instead of maybe even buying some omega-3 sprinkles and putting in your existing feed. So just a little tip there. But if you want to increase that in your omega-3 in your eggs, then there are products out there that you can do that without having to change feed using
the... Well, Whisperer, there's another product, too, that works, which is what most of the companies do, and that's just buy a bag of flax seeds and just sprinkle some on top, because that's where it's really high in the omega-3s. And that works quite well too. It's of course it's not a proprietary product, but it works quite well. So.
Okay, very cool. Yeah. I was just seeing if Jen could bring me a lemonade over here, get my mouth dry before we start this segment here on getting started with backyard poultry. And I'm going to go ahead, let me get over here, and I'll bring up this. And I've kind of got a little outline here we're going to be going by.
I've got several based on where we're at and the people that we're talking to. But again, getting started with backyard poultry. I'm going to eliminate a part of it because more than likely, if you're already listening to the show or you already have some little chicks, you've already done the research. And that's very important to do your research. And I know a lot of people do that before some. Some people don't. They just jump into it. But there's a lot of, you know, you need to do your research. Number one, of course, making sure that chickens are legal in your area. You can do that by specifically one website. Well, you can go down to your city hall and check. But then if they're not legal, they may wonder what you're doing looking for chicken laws. But there is a website. It's very common. A lot of people know about it as you're getting started with backyard poultry and you've done your research. But checking the laws in your area, municode.com. MUNICODE, municode.com. When that website comes up, you're going to click on the map, click on your state, and then if your city or county actually participates, and many hundreds and not thousands do, then you can click and just look at the codes in your area. And, of course, we recommend looking at different keywords, poultry, chickens, livestock, fowl, birds, what's the other one I'm looking for, household pet, any of those, and see agriculture, see if there's any laws or regulations in your area that permit you to keep chickens or prohibit you from keeping chickens, because and that's very important as you're trying to do the research. I know you've already probably subscribed to awesome magazines like Backyard Poultry. You've visited online websites and forums. You're listening to the radio show. You've gotten great books like City Chicks and Chicken Tractor and Christine Heinrich's book, How to Raise Chickens, How to Raise Poultry and Whatnot. Raising Chickens for Dummies by my good friend Rob Ludlow. So you're doing that, but that's just one tip there, checking the laws in your area and going. That's one way to do it, municode.com. Now, I will tell folks that if you find that chickens are not allowed in your area, you basically have three really decisions. You can go ahead and keep chickens anyway, under the radar, like thousands, like Pat just said, a third of the people at the movie showing this weekend kept chickens under the radar, kept them maybe illegally there in town. So you can choose to actually do that, and that's okay. A little alarm's going off here in the room. So you can choose to keep them illegally. We don't advocate breaking any laws here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, but if that's the case, then you know, many people do. And I will share this story with you, Pat. You've heard me say this before. Pat and I have heard so many stories, many, many stories, that it's, for at least me anyway, has changed my view on this a little bit over the years. We have heard so many stories about people and say, well, you know, I know they're really not allowed, but I have a good relationship with my neighbors, so I'm going to go and check with them and tell them my plans and my idea, and if they say it's okay, and then I'm going to go ahead and get chickens, no problem. Okay, we've heard a lot of that, and that may be the neighborly thing to do. I get that, okay? But Pat and I, on this radio show and out touring the country, we have heard so many people, we've had so many people come up to us and say, well, I did that. I asked my neighbors, and I went to the knocked on their door and told them what I was doing right to my face. They said, oh, no problem, go right ahead. And then they were the ones that ended up turning them in to the authorities. Okay, we've heard that so many times, but I asked permission, and then they're the ones that ended up reporting them to the authorities. So I've come to the conclusion of talking to other folks is that, you know, if you're going to keep chickens under the radar and you're going to want to do it and you've decided to do it, just do it, because it'll eliminate those your. And here's why. When Jen and I had backyard poultry in an urban area, it was about 2 years before anybody even knew we had them. 2 years.
That's right.
Before the neighborhood started to knocking on our door saying, hey, you have chickens. Yeah. What's the problem? Because then they're going to want to start throwing away on that term, the nuisance factor. Okay. They're a nuisance. Well, then, you know, it may not help you in a court of law, but it sure makes them look like an idiot when you say, how in the world can you classify my chickens as a nuisance if I had them for 2 years and nobody even knew I had them? How is that a nuisance? So no, it may not help you in a court of law, but it sure makes common sense if you can use that with your advantage. If they do find out through the grapevine or a neighbor, what have you, and you had them for 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years before even anybody knew, then that may help you and work to your advantage in some ways, that when they start throwing that term nuisance, oh, they're a nuisance. How come you didn't know about him for 2 years? How is that a nuisance? So that's kind of changed my view there a little bit of having people come up to me and say, hey, I got my neighbor's permission and talk to them about it, and then they turned me in. So the law is the big issue. So you can decide to keep them under the radar. You can decide not to keep them at all, and that would mean probably three, trying to change the laws in your city. And the good thing about this is, Pat will agree, about 85 to 90% of the cities that approach changing their laws, according to what we see, end up changing their laws to keep backyard poultry, which is a good thing. Some are more strict than others. Some are very lenient other than others. But again, 85 to 90% from what we see of the towns that approach allowing chicken keeping, it'll be a good bit of work for you, but it's very promising, and it can be done. We see it all over the country. And so those are kind of your three issues regarding, of course, checking the laws in your area. We know you've probably already done your research on this, that, and the other. We know a lot of people this year were sitting on the fence, not sure if they were going to do it or not. They were kind of sitting on the fence looking at other friends and neighbors that decided to jump off the fence and keep backyard poultry. And then we think this year a lot of people jumped off the fence and started backyard poultry. That was kind of our guesstimation back in the fall that this year a lot of people were really gearing up for a big year with backyard poultry, and we felt that that was the issue, that this year would be bigger than the year before, mainly because of the watching others do it, seeing the responsibility involved and the benefits, and then actually this year saying, okay, we're going to do this. We've saw other people do it, and there'll always be that every year. But we felt this year may have been the premier year for people jumping off the fence after seeing others actually after doing it. So we know you've done your research, but check those laws, and those are kind of your decisions regarding there. Any additives there, Pat, that you want to talk about, whether it be the laws or doing your research and other sources of research to decide whether you may want to keep backyard poultry or not?
Oh, my gosh. This is such a wide and broad subject, Whisper, as we found over the journey of the last couple years. There are so many techniques to do. One of the things I would suggest about actually getting to the codes is even if municode.com has it listed there, I would still contact the city attorney, the city attorney's office, and get a copy of the actual code that is there now. And what that'll do is, one, you can see where what it really is. Two, you can connect with the city attorney and kind of find out where they might be on, he or she might be on the city chicken issue. And then three, you can have a code, like a model code, and we've got some that are printed out there to kind of compare with it. And what often happens is they compare, they just lump in all poultry with the livestock. And then
right.
You're going to know what the battle plan is. You'll say, okay, chickens can be pets, and here's the court cases that approved it in Maryland. You know, we went up to the courthouse there, and they came out as pets. So it can help you give a strategy about what you how you want to approach city council. If the setbacks are like 400 feet, because there used to be a stockyard there, you know that, well, for chickens, we only need 10 to 20 feet. Some don't even have any setbacks because they do tend to be so quiet and not stinky and noisy the other ways. The other thing is get your forces together. If you can't have chickens, then get the 4-H club. Try to network and find out who your other poultry advocates are. Have a meeting on how to approach it, and then when you do go to the city council meeting or to a public hearing, have your talking points pretty well all set out, and we've got support on that. The 7 Myths of Urban Chickens gives you a lot of the talking points, and that has been on NPR, and you can find it, I think it's on the Geep website, Good Earth Publications website now, or just contact either Andy or I. We'll be glad to send it to you. We can send you a PDF of it, or even the graphics department at Good Earth Publications will change it, so your contact information is at the bottom there, and you can hand it out as flyers. So they have it right in front of them that chickens are not noisy. They're about the same decibel level as human conversation, and they don't make a lot of poop. 10 chickens make less poop than a 40-pound dog. So they've got the facts. Remember, Whistle, we always talk about the facts. Get the facts, ma'am.
Factual information.
Factual information, not myths and not beliefs and not false beliefs, but facts. Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to add to this one, Whisper, is probably our pet peeve, you and me both, is the neighbor's permission bit. about how you have to go around, and some of the codes are put in there, and you have to have 80% of the neighbor's permission. Or, well, that is a civil liberties violation, folks. There's absolutely no reason under any other laws that you should have to get neighbor's permission to do anything, and that is actually an affront to our Constitution, I think. I mean, you don't have to get their permission to have a pit bull or to have 20 kids or to have a motorcycle rally or go-karts in their yard. I mean, the whole neighbor's permission thing should never, ever come up when it comes to keeping a backyard flock, because that's all the nuisances, if there are any, or complaints, they're usually handled under the existing animal control laws, including the noise and any sort of miscare and that sort of thing that should happen. So that's just a couple of vignettes there. We could do a whole show on getting chickens
on laws,
legal.
Right. Exactly.
And one other thing, when you get your troops together and when you do go into the city council or the public hearings, wear something or do something that identifies the poultry advocates, because it'll show how many numbers you are. What they had over here in Richmond, I really liked, Whisper, it's a great idea, it had the big yellow stickers that you could just pull off. They're about 2 inch wide. It says legalized chickens on it, and you just put that on your chest or your cap or whatever, so people know exactly where you stand. I think you've suggested wearing a yellow baseball cap or yellow
just
t-shirt
anything yellow
to identify
yep.
your...
We started that about 3 years ago when we first started fighting City Hall in a city in the outskirts of Atlanta. And I say, you know, we're a yellow shirt, yellow scarf, yellow hat, yellow whatever you have, yellow, because it stands out. And then we all sat together, so there was this big block of yellow. Everybody in the room knew exactly who was there to support the backyard poultry. So, absolutely. That
right.
was started, many years ago.
Because I found out when I was talking before our city council the multiple times, at one point I wanted to ask the pro-poultry advocates to stand up, and they wouldn't let me. They said, no, we don't allow that. So if you can identify yourselves pretty clearly before you go in, that just sort of takes care of that issue. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's pretty neat and cheap to do is get these legalized chicken bumper stickers. And you can even have photocopies and have the businesses that are pro-poultry put them up in their windows. Mm-hmm. So as the city council members and other citizens walk around, they start to see legalized chickens in all these random places. And it subconsciously, I think, does have an effect. It kind of, well, there's a pro-chicken. I guess there are more pro-chicken people than I knew about. And then finally, I think the ultimate... which I've also said publicly and written and everything else, I think you have too, is that any city council or county commissioner that claims to be green and support the local foods movement but who does not support family flocks is simply not walking their talk.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it will proceed election by election. And another thing is when that election comes up, make it a sole issue in the newspapers. Where do you stand on chickens? And ask their report, ask for what they have to say about it, and then have it published in the paper. So then everyone knows where they stand and how to vote.
Absolutely.
And how they're going to vote when it comes. And votes will be changed then after that. That happened in Lexington where it came out that in the paper whether they were pro or against chickens, and some of the ones against it had so many people come up and talk to them that they changed their minds. So being flexible. So anyway, that's a couple more strategies to put in the pot there.
Yeah, we'll probably have a show regarding the laws here coming up, absolutely, because we could talk about that for a whole week on the backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. So getting started, decisions you kind of have to make. You need to decide kind of how you want to get started. Do you want to start with eggs and hatch those out there's equipment you need for that? Do you want to start with baby chicks, or do you want to start with maybe started birds, or do you want to just go ahead and get layers that are already laying? And while it's in my mind right now is that just a tidbit, if you go out and you find some good laying hens that you really like, the environment's good, they're not walking around and all there's just deep poop and their water's clean, and you look at their surroundings and you think you're getting all your chickens from one place, that's perfectly fine. But just know that when you get them back home, that you might get an egg or two over the next 2, maybe 3 days, but then they may stop laying for anywhere from 2 weeks to possibly 2 months due to the shock, the stress of moving them from their home to a different home with new surroundings, possibly other chickens, a new coop, new run, new people. And so people, I'll often get these emails. Well, I just got some laying hens. They said they were laying great. I got an egg the first couple of days, and now they haven't laid in 3 weeks. What am I doing wrong? You're not doing anything wrong. Just keep them calm, keep them comfortable, talk with them, get out there, make sure they have great surroundings. It'll just take time. They'll have to get used to you and their coop and their run and their new surroundings and become more comfortable, and then the hens will turn back that laying machine on, turn it back on, and then you'll start getting some eggs once they get comfortable with their surroundings. So back to the point here. Deciding if you want to start. If you want to start with eggs, if you want hatching eggs, where are you going to get some hatching eggs? Okay, you can get those from, of course, local farms that may have the roosters and the hens, and that's a key. If you're going to get hatching eggs, you got to make sure that where you're getting them, they have roosters and hens. No, you don't need any roosters to have eggs. The hens will lay eggs daily. It's great. But if you're going to hatch eggs, those eggs need to be fertilized. So you got to have hens and the roosters, the pullets and the cockerels, or the cocks and the hens. And so you got to have those both so you get those fertilized eggs. So you can get them from a local farm if you know. Maybe a backyard chickeneer that does have the roosters and the hens, maybe they get the fertile eggs all the time. Or, yes, you can get even mail order fertile eggs. You can find some on eBay. There's, again, bidbird.com, and there's other places. There's websites like, mypetchicken.com carries fertile chicken eggs. So just there's many places, even online. Now, let me just tell you this. When we talk about mail order, I don't care who you order from. I don't care how good they're packed and how safely they're packed. And they get there, and they're all nice there, beautiful eggs. You're going to want to probably just in your mind discount the percentage of hatch you will get. So let's say if you want to hatch, if you want a good, maybe 12 chickens, maybe you order 24 fertilized eggs, because studies show and folks have experienced you will actually get a decrease in a hatchability percentage if you do mail order, just from the stress and the jostle of the eggs being shipped to you. So just keep that in mind. So if you're going to do that, if you want to hatch your own, you got to have a source for fertile hatching eggs. Two, it's a great experience. I don't care if you're 6 years old, 60 years old, or 106 years old. If you've never done this before, Pat and I both encourage this, especially if you're a teacher. You want to do it in your classroom. It's fabulous and a great experience for everybody. You get that good bond raising them from chicks, which is awesome because they get that relationship with you. Maybe one of the downfalls of hatching your own, depending on where you live, if you don't want roosters or you don't want any or you're not allowed to have them, when you hatch those eggs out, you need to be prepared to have whatever hatch, 50% cockerel, 50% pullet. That's 50% male, 50% female, because there's no control over that. So you'll have to kind of pre-plan now what you're going to do with the cockerels, with the roosters that you get from your hatch that could be half and half, half female, half male. So basically it would be straight run that you'll hatch out. Obviously, cockerels means they will grow up to be roosters. Pullets grow up to be hens. But when they're little, cockerels versus pullet, that'll help you also when we talk about ordering the birds. Also, if you're going to hatch out your eggs, how are you going to hatch them out? You're going to need an incubator. And, of course, there's a couple of sponsors of the show. You can go to Brensea.com or you can go to GQF, MFG, GQFmanufacturing.com. Good quality incubators at both of those places, but you'll need some equipment. You got to get the hatching eggs. You have to have an incubator. And then once they hatch out, of course, you'll need a brooder. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. And then you have to wait, of course, about 20 weeks, give or take, for some eggs for them to hatch if you're going to go that route. So regarding the hatching process, when you're deciding what to do, Pat, any we'll get to ordering chicks here in a minute and started birds and hens, but any additives there for you, Pat, on hatching eggs and the responsibilities and tasks of hatching them out?
Well, there's one tricky one, Whisper, that I've seen over and over again, especially when it's done in schools, and that is that especially if they're mail order or just have been older eggs, you don't set them within a week or so, or somehow they get jostled, is that they'll hatch a deformed chick. and or have a leg problems where its leg curls up and it can't really walk except maybe on one leg, maybe. And you need to be prepared to be able to deal with those little chicks, because I think I've seen them grown out and I've seen them suffer and I've seen them just, you know, never thrive and never gain weight and just kind of eventually fade or die away. But there are humane ways to put them down and just kind of let them pass on. And eventually that will happen. And I know we had one hatch of eggs that when I got them from another there was about 50 of them, 50 eggs, and they said, now these are about 10 days old, just to let you know. And I thought, well, that's no problem. And I went ahead and as it turned out, they were older than that, and I didn't know it. And mm-hmm. we set them and hatched them out. Oh, Whisper, it was the hatch from hell. These little chicks were coming out just they looked like something out of the dark side of Harry Potter kind of thing. And we ended up having to put quite a few of them down, just kind of twisting their necks is how we just put them out. So that's an emotional side just to kind of be aware of. They're not all going to be happy, healthy, cheep, and off they go. And understand that that's part of life. So, and when you get into almost any sort of puppies or kittens or whatever, there'll be a certain few that, you know, just won't be able to make it. And that can be a really emotionally traumatic for some people, but that's forewarned is forearmed. I always made Andy put him down because I just couldn't bring myself to really do it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's... And in schools, I think if it happens with the hatching programs in schools, it's an excellent opportunity to have little life lessons about what does it mean to be born and to not be perfect or to have to put something down as a humanitarian act. So there's a lot of lessons there for both kids and adults to really think about life and what's precious and what works and what doesn't and
Absolutely.
What is suffering and what is thriving. So,
good point. If you decide to go with chicks, pretty much everything the above, but if you want to do mail order chicks, or, you know, hey, you could maybe have a local backyarder that hatches out some chicks for you. Then at that point, if you just want to start with chicks, you don't need the equipment as an incubator to do that. You won't have to find hatching eggs. Now you have to search for the chicks. Where are you going to get the chicks? Same thing. Local farm, possibly another backyarder, maybe a breeder across the country, depending on what breeds. Maybe you want heritage breeds, so you can get them that way. You can also get them mail order. Now, I will tell you, and I will stick by this to the day I die, I do not care how awesome this person says he is at sexing chicks, he or she.
Right.
I don't care if he says, oh, I've been doing this for 98 years, and I can guarantee you what's a male and female. I can tell you, I got my secret way to do it. I don't care. I don't care where you get them from. I don't care how long they've been hatching chicks. It does not matter to me, and it's not going to matter to you. You'll see. I don't care what their theory is, if it's doing a seance, if it's holding a ring on a string above them. I don't care what it is. I don't care who. I'm telling you, because it will affect you, and it'll cause you great stress when you have to find out how to get rid of half of your chickens because they're roosters and they're crowing and making your neighbors mad, okay? Okay, expect when you walk away, if you get your chickens from anywhere other than a large hatchery, like, again, Ideal Poultry, Meyer Hatchery, My Pet Chicken, Mount Healthy, whatever the case, McMurray, okay, where they have true, trained, professional sexers. They're making the big bucks. They do it every single day. They're sexing about 1,000 chicks every hour, okay? I don't care where else you get them. From anybody who says, oh, yeah, I'm great, I've been doing this 98,000 years, and I can tell you what, look at the feathers, or look at his butt. Oh, this egg was more pointed than the other egg, so this one is probably going to be, forget it. Walk away knowing that half your chicks may be roosters, cockerels, period, okay? Because if you do mail order from some of the major hatcheries, I've ordered thousands of chicks with our giveaways and whatnot, and we're talking, you know, they'll say 90% are better, and they say 90% just to be on the safe side. When they sex their chicks, 90% or better will be what they say they're going to be. I have experienced that it's much better than 90%, and I've ordered thousands of chicks from major hatcheries. So that's the deal. I'm just telling you, order from where you're going to order your chicks from. I don't really care. Support local economy, that's fine. If you're worried about them being shipped and whatnot and you want to go and pick them up, fine. But if you order, you know, if they were so darn good at sexing chicks, then they would be making the big, 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 big bucks that these sexers make at these hatcheries. I was told once that if you go by a hatchery and you see a Ferrari or a Lamborghini or a Mercedes or a Jaguar in the parking lot, it's probably the sexer. Most of them are of Asian descent. They are trained from family to family to family for many generations, and they get that training. A lot of them are specified through breed, and you can read all about sexing chicks. Go ahead and read how to sex chicks. Study how to, you know, check out all the books in the world. And learn how to do it, you think, and then if you get to where you can be 90% accurate or more, 95% accurate, then you best be getting a big income from one of these major hatcheries. So read how to do it, hear from somebody how to do it, walk away, 50% are going to be roosters. And that's out of all the information I'm going to give you today, you can please take that, and that's just, you know, regarding that. So, but, you know, hey, if you order them from the hatchery, that's great. People often say, well, I don't like to order them because of the shipping issue. It's not good for them. When we had our first chicken giveaway, we ordered 1,000 baby chicks. I think it was 1,000. And when they come into my local post office, I take a Sharpie with me. I open up the containers and I count what's arrived alive, what has arrived dead on arrival. And out of 1,000 baby chicks, I had less than 10 arrive dead on arrival. And I ordered from hatcheries all over the country. Maybe 5-6 different hatcheries sent me baby chicks for our big chick giveaway here in Atlanta we have every year. And less than 10 out of 1,000 were dead on arrival. So, I mean, do the percentage. More, you know, hens, baby chicks that are delivered from out in your backyard under mama hen probably don't have a survival rate that good. So you can do the math there. Regarding that. So that's, you know, if you order your chicks, there's ways to do that. Started birds are just that. They've already been started. They range probably, say, from 12 to 16 weeks. They're started birds. You don't need a brooder, which is the baby chick's first home. Whether you hatch them out, they go into a brooder, which is, again, the baby. We'll get that in a minute. You won't need an incubator. You won't need a brooder. And, in fact, they're ready to go outside into the coop. They've already feathered out. A lot of people like that because they don't need an incubator. They don't need a brooder. It's a little bit less time dealing and a little bit less responsibility. But then they get their started birds. They're a little bit more money, of course. And normally by the time they're at the started stage, the breeder can tell you whether they're a pullet or a cockerel. Not all the time, though, so be aware of that. And then they're ready to come home and go right into the actual coop. And then they'll start laying, again, depending on the breed. Some of, like, your Leghorns may start laying at about 17, 18 weeks. Some, it may be 30 weeks before they start laying. But in general, just rule of thumb, about 20 weeks, and your chickens, you should start seeing the first eggs with the started chickens. Now, you may not. It may take you a little long to get that bond with your started birds versus raising, getting, you know, starting them from the baby chicks. It may take you a little bit of time, maybe a little bit skittish, depending on how they were raised up until this point, and you took them. But it can be done over time regarding that. Also, if you're, and I'm going to just mention this when we're talking about it, if you already have chickens and you go get some more birds, you want to keep them quarantined. I don't care where you get them. Definitely look at the quality of the water, the quality of their surroundings, and the quality of the other birds, the quality of their feathers and their coat. Even if they look just absolutely supreme, you want to keep them kind of quarantined from your current birds in your backyard for about 3 weeks. People recommend, just to make sure they don't have any of the snifflies and the sneezies and the diseases and the this, that, and the other that you may need to treat for before you put them in with your existing flock. And, of course, again, you could also go ahead and just get the layers already, but just be advised that after you bring them home to your beautiful surroundings, you may get an egg or two for the first few days, but then all of a sudden you may not get an egg for 2 weeks to 2 months while they shut down their egg laying machine due to the stress of being moved to a new area. Let's see, moving right along here because I think this is important too. Pat, choosing the breed that's right for you. And we talk about, you know, do you want meat birds? Do you want layers? Do you want dual purpose? Do you want show birds? There may not necessarily be for show, but, you know, that type of bird like the Polish or maybe the Silkies. And so I found, Pat, that there are really three different ways, and I love talking about this, three different ways that people actually will choose the the birds that they want. And I've seen this back when we used to sell a lot of chicks out of the house, when we had people come, soccer moms and their minivans come to get, you know, six chickens. And I would notice, you'd have some folks, Pat, and you agree with this, I'm sure, that will do hours and hours and hours and hours of research. They'll get the McMurray Hatchery catalog. Yeah, they'll get online. They'll talk to breeders. They'll go to chicken shows to look at all the different varieties. Even if they don't want to show chickens, let me tell you, a chicken poultry show is a great place to go to talk to the breeder, learn about the breed, the history of the breed, who developed it. So you'll have people will show up knowing exactly what breeds they want, why they actually want them, whether it be climate or history or whatever the case may be. And they'll have been done hours and hours of research, which is great and very simple. I want this, 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 and this. Okay, you've got that crowd. Then you may have the crowd of folks that come out and they want their particular breeds that they picked out. Why? Because that's what grandma had. You know, I remember going out to grandma and grandpa's and they had Rhode Island Red, they had Barred Rock, they had some Black Australorps or just that or the other. And I loved them. They were great. It brings back great memories for me of my grandpa's farm. And so that's the chickens I want. I want to carry on that tradition. So they may actually have picked out their breeds because of a relationship with family or something they remember from the past, which is also fabulous. They're continuing that memory and they're instilling that and with their children that they have now, which is fabulous. Then I've noticed, and this is fine too, nothing wrong with this, and people are happy with the birds they get. They'll come out, maybe they'll have two children, three children with a mom and dad, and they'll be looking at our big brooder, and they'll have done no research. They don't know hardly any names other than maybe a little bit of research they've done, Rhode Island Red, Barred Rock, Silver-Laced Wyandotte, Leghorn, you know, things like that, the more mainstream type of chicken, more popular ones. And they'll have their kids pick out the chickens, and it'll literally be, oh, I like the one with the black dot on its head, Mommy, or, oh, I like this red-colored one, Mommy, or, you know, I like this one because it's sitting over in the corner by itself and it needs a friend. So they'll pick out their chickens just by as a family outing. They'll go out and they won't know. And of course, we have to be prepared because they'll be like, now, what's this one going to look like when it grows up? So we tried to have the adult birds, and that's why we and Jen had such a variety of birds. Because when we were selling them to folks, getting people started, and keeping some chicks on hand, they'd want to see, oh, what's this chick going to look like when it grows up? So we'll come in the backyard. This little one's going to be Barred Rock. This one's Rhode Island Red. This one's Silver-Laced Wyandotte. This one's Four Pinkton, whatever the case may be. And they'll just pick them out based on how their kids like them or whatever, however they're acting in the brooder, which is perfectly fine. But I think those are really the three main ways I see people pick out the birds for their backyard flock. What say you, Pat?
Yeah, Whisper, that was excellent. You really, really covered all the bases. One of the things I'd like to add would be if you have a particular heritage breed that you really like, and, of course, there's more and more people are joining the breed clubs, and you can find a listing of the people that do these heritage breeds through the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. They have a breeder's directory, not just of chickens, but of all the heritage breeds. But if you find those and want to get chickens that are already laying, just contact them, because every year they do their breeding, they have to call out the ones that they don't want to use for next year's breeding program, and or they'll have older chickens, so that it's just older hens that are time to call out. And they usually only keep them 2 or 3 years because the production rate goes down about anywhere from 10 to 20% each year. But oftentimes you'll not only be supporting them in their efforts to keep these heritage breeds going, but you can usually get a good deal and have hens that are ready to lay. I mean, they'll be just be laying right from the get-go. And the other place to get birds, of course, is, by goodness gracious, go to a local or even a national poultry show, because they always have a swap meet there. And you can just go down and you see all the different chickens and breeds. You can get roosters, hens, whatever, ducks, geese, even turkeys and pheasants. But that's a great place to kind of go. You can shop them. It's like a flea market kind of affair. You can talk to the breeders and really know it. And I found it's a wonderful place to pick up different breeds or develop your eye candy flock, if that's what you want to do, with the hens that are already ready to go, and pullets. I mean, they'll also have some pullets there for a pretty good deal. So that's the other thing I would add. You did a great job of covering.
One more thing, we got some great comments, and I got some instant message that people now. And it's a very good point. Very good. A lot of people people are picking out their birds for the color eggs they lay, because there's so many different variety of the color eggs. So they'll be like, oh, I love the dark, dark chocolate eggs. I love those. Someone in the chat room said, hey, I've always been a James Bond fan, and he wanted to only eat eggs from the Morans, or the Morans, depending on where you're from and what you want to say. And those dark, dark chocolate eggs. Some love the blue and green eggs that the Araucana and the Marikana lay. And so they like that. Some want a good mixture, so they'll have some white egg layers. They'll have some brown egg layers. They'll have the blue and green egg layers. They'll have the dark, dark chocolate brown. So that's another good point that I'll need to add to my outline here, is that, yes, people are starting to they'll see those dark, dark eggs. You know, I'll be honest with everybody. You know, I try to walk the walk and talk the talk and not be a hypocrite. In fact, I think one day I was on the show, I said, hey, guys, I'm deviating a little bit from my plan. I'm drinking a Sprite. I always trash high fructose corn syrup, but today I've got a Sprite for some reason in my hand. And so, yeah, my listeners keep me in check. You know, it's like I'll be riding down the road and I'll be so hungry. There'll be a busy day and I'll see a McDonald's and I'll be like, it'd be so easy to pull in there, but I'm not going to do it, because then I would have to confess to my listeners that, hey, I stopped at McDonald's and I haven't been to one in many, 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 many years. So it's one of those things that y'all keep me in check. But so I'll be honest with you. I never have really gotten into, I've been to all the poultry shows we've been broadcasting live. I'll stop by the Morans Club of America, and they'll have all these beautiful dark, dark eggs. I just never, just haven't got into that. You know, it's just, I like a variety of eggs when I look open the egg carton and see the white and the browns and the blues and the greens and whatnot, but I didn't get connected, or I didn't get on board, I guess. And everybody's different. I don't have anything against it. I think they're beautiful eggs, but I just have never got on board to the dark chocolate egg craze that's really, people are just, they love them. They're just, people go nuts over these Moran eggs. So, and I just never.
You can also have the khaki colored eggs.
Right, right.
The cross between the blue and the chocolate and the dark chocolate. So, yeah. Well, Whisper, I have two Morans that one of the breeds that do the dark chocolate eggs. And I'll put just one in each carton with some of the blue ones and the beige ones. And people open them up and they just go, oh. I mean, it is a bit of a thrill, even though they've seen it before. I always get that response. So one or two, I think, is nice. But it is optional. The nutritional value of the eggs is the same. There's not been proven any difference, no matter what the eggshell is.
Right.
The difference is in how they're raised and what kind of feed they get, what kind of environment they're in. So
you're right. I can tell you this, too. It's factual information. People at one point a few years back, they were raving that Americana, Araucana eggs, the green eggs, were less in cholesterol. There was that rumor going around, and it was going around like wildfire.
I've never seen a study on that, have you?
I heard from, I think it was Dr. McCray, that what happened and ended up was they did a study, but the study found out that for the most part, an Americana and an Araucana eggs are smaller, regardless of their color. A smaller egg more than likely would have less cholesterol than a bigger egg. So the study ended up deeming that, you know, yes, the green egg did have less cholesterol than, say, the big brown egg from that Buff Orpington, because it's smaller. So I tell people that regarding that. You are correct 100%, Pat. White egg, brown egg, dark chocolate egg, blue egg, green egg, nutritionally the exact same. Some of the old timers say, you know, they can tell with taste and whatnot, I can definitely tell a difference between the Moran eggs and say a white Leghorn egg, even if they're raised in the backyard. Hey, so be it. Who am I to say that that's not true? Maybe they can. But you're right. No nutritional difference. But I like to share that story with people regarding the Americana egg, when that rumor was going around that they're less in cholesterol, ended up being because it was a smaller egg than the big boy eggs from the Buff Orpington, Black Australorps, and the other breed. So, hey, we're down here to really a stopping point. We're here starting to talk about the specifics of incubation. But before we get into that, because we have next Monday, I think, is open as well. And so we're at a stopping point here. We'll continue this Getting Started with Backyard Poultry segment next Monday, because it looks like to be open. Of course, in August, every Monday will be taken in full with our good friend Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, founder of First State Vet Supply. So we'll have a next Monday And that's what we'll pick up here with our Getting Started with Backyard Poultry, talking about incubation basics. And then, of course, we'll get into specifics of brooding, since we had mentioned brooder before, what is a brooder and whatnot. And then we'll get in down to many other things like coops and feed, maybe some disease, bedding, the whole nine yards. So we're at a stopping point. Plus, we've got to get to chicken trivia today. And we have a chicken trivia prize today from our good friends, Crazy K Farm, makers of the kitty holster, the hen saver, the birdie bra, many cool products that Toby has come up with over the years, and does a fabulous job. And I've noticed, I'm just going to say this, I know they're a sponsor, and we're so glad that they're a sponsor, and we have a lot of multi-talented people out there, and I know money's tight, and people try to do kind of their own, say, hen saver or hen aprons or things. And the key here is that the difference you may find, you may be able to find some material. You may be able to cut it out. You may have a sewing machine and whatnot and some elastic and can maybe make your own. I understand that. But there's a huge difference here. I tell folks and even good friends that say, hey, look, I made a hen apron. And I look at the material and it's just so flimsy. You hold it and it just flims right over. The key there is the long-lasting longevity of these products, the material that she has done years and years of research on finding the right
years.
Material for these and then the right shape and the right elastic and to make sure they fit properly like they should, both with the hen saver and, of course, you got the shoulder protectors that go with it. So, sure, anybody can cut out some material. Anybody can sew it together, but see how it holds up in the sun and the rain and the snow and the sleet and the wind and just your chickens every day. Maybe the rooster, again, mounting the hens, because this is great protection for that, and maybe even deter some hawk attacks. So that's the key there with this product is, you can probably just kind of cut some out, sew them together, but the material that she's come up with that these are made out of are just top-of-the-line phenomenal material that, again, will last. Factor in your time making two or three over the course of however long they last versus buying one that's going to last for a long time. You may end up spending more due to the poor material you may be using or the inadequate material that what you're using it for, rain and sun and shine and the roosters and the damage the roosters can do with its spurs and claws, you know. So just keep that in mind when you're trying to make your own or trying to say, hey, I think I could make one of those. So that's always share that with people. So we've got that, but we're going to go ahead and
there's another thing, Whisper, and that is you're supporting a family owned cottage business. I mean, this is a small entrepreneur. She's doing a great job, and I think to support family businesses like that is a really important thing in our economy today. So that should make you feel good from buying them from them as well.
Absolutely correct. Well, American business, woman owned.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I know that she uses a lot of stay-at-home moms to actually do some of her work for her and to kind of spread the work here. And so, yeah, she does a great job. So they're made and assembled right here in America. So, all righty. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and then when we come back, we'll try to get a real quick trivia question. In fact, during the break, Pat, if you have a chicken joke will be perfectly fine for today. We need some laughs in the chat room, so if you can just pull up maybe one we haven't heard before. I know you're the expert with that, and maybe come back if you don't mind having a chicken joke. So, folks, you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer today, and we've been covering, getting started with backyard poultry, and we'll resume with this next Monday as well. So hope you got some valuable information today if you're just starting with backyard poultry or thinking about starting. So we'll be back right after this short break, folks, so stay with us. You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared. But now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size, flock, and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
Thank you. designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers. ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all, from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. You need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea. Technology you can trust.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today. And, Pat, you know what? We're going to do this on Facebook because I just had a young lady whisper in my ear. We had 90 seconds left. So 90 seconds.
Oh, my gosh.
Not enough time to do the show, to do the prize or to take the call. So now we've got 60 seconds. So, Pat, I'm going to let you take it away. Tune in tomorrow, folks. We've got Andrew Odom, who's going to be with us about the living a minimalist lifestyle with his and talk about what he's been doing. So, again, about 45 seconds, Pat. Take it away. Thank you.
Okay, well, boy, that went fast, Whisper. Well, of course, always and forever, we want to appreciate our chat room chicken ears. Without our chicken ears and all our other listeners, where would we be? So we appreciate you so very, very much. BlogTalkRadio.com provides the radio, the chat, and the video services. Thank you, Radio. BlogTalkRadio.com. And, of course, Andy Schneider, the Chicken Whisperer. We wouldn't be here if you hadn't brought us all together.
Hey,
I'm
Pat
Foreman,
real quick.
We both.
Pat, password is cockerel. The password is cockerel today. So we've been talking about that.
Cockerel.
Today's password is cockerel.
C-O-C-K-R-E-L. On behalf of Andy and I both, we bless you all and love you poultry binders so much. Blessings to all, and may the flock be with you evermore. God bless everybody.
Oh.